There has always been this clear unspoken contract when you boot up a video game.
Right.
You sit down on your couch, you grab the controller, and you just escape. You leave your actual life,
Yeah.
your bills, your demanding boss, your everyday financial stress, you leave it completely behind.
Exactly. It's supposed to be a completely separate reality.
Yeah, exactly. The game is supposed to be this plastic playground. You break some rules, you cause some absolute chaos, and then you hit the power button. The console turns off, and the digital world just resets.
Right. Nobody gets hurt and nothing actually matters.
Exactly. Which is why the landscape today, in the year 2026, is so incredibly
It
jarring.
really is.
Because if you log into the newly launched Grand Theft Auto, the sixth online 2.0 today, you might expect to just, steal a virtual sports car and run from the cops. But instead, you are immediately staring at a live global financial terminal.
Yeah, it's no longer just a game.
Not at all. The boundary between the digital playground and your actual physical wallet hasn't just been blurred, it has been entirely erased.
We are witnessing a fundamental paradigm shift in real time here. I mean, to call this a video game is almost a miscategorization at this
Oh,
point.
totally.
What we are really analyzing is the dawn of a massive, functioning metaverse economy that operates completely parallel to our own.
Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are pulling apart this fascinating, incredibly detailed autopsy published by Tekken Mag. The piece is titled The Dawn of the Metaverse Economy.
It's a fantastic read.
It really is. And our mission today is to figure out exactly how Rockstar Games took Vice City and turned it into a breathing, high-stakes international financial market that directly impacts you, the player, in the real world.
The stakes are incredibly high.
They really are. Okay, let's unpack this because we were talking about leaving behind the old days of isolated 30-player lobbies and stepping into a completely unified, interconnected global system.
To truly grasp the stakes of this leap, we have to look closely at the intersection of three massive technological forces. We're talking about cloud architecture, generative AI, and cryptocurrency. When developers combine those three elements at this specific scale, they're no longer just building a multiplayer map with pretty graphics.
No, they're building a world.
They're constructing a digital nation. I mean, the Tekken Mag piece notes that this system recently hit 12 million peak concurrent players.
12 million. Just think about that for a second. 12 million people logged into a single digital space simultaneously.
It's staggering.
It is. And we have to start right there with the technological foundation because before you can have any sort of functioning economy, you have to have a unified marketplace.
Right, the infrastructure has to support it.
Exactly. In the older titles, you were essentially playing in a bubble. You and 29 strangers were dropped into an instanced lobby.
Like a walled sandbox in your backyard.
Exactly, a small sandbox.
Yeah.
If you burned down a building in your lobby, it didn't affect the millions of other players playing the game at the exact same time. It was a completely closed loop.
Rockstar completely shattered that architectural limitation.
Yeah.
They built this framework they call Cloud Mesh Architecture.
And this is what changes everything.
It is. Vice City now hosts tens of thousands of players simultaneously in a single unified server shard.
The scale of that is just so difficult to wrap your head around because the article mentions that the North America AWS Edge cluster alone holds 5 million concurrent players,
And they're all experiencing an average ping of 12 milliseconds.
which is insane. My home internet occasionally struggles to stream a 4K movie without buffering. So, how are 5 million people existing in the same virtual city without the server immediately catching fire?
It comes down to how the server load is dynamically distributed. Think of server meshing like a modern cellular network.
Okay.
When you are driving down the highway making a phone call, your call doesn't drop when you leave one cell tower's radius.
Right. It just hands off to the next one.
Exactly. The signal is seamlessly handed off. Rockstar's architecture does the exact same thing with your digital avatar. As you drive from downtown Vice City into the surrounding swamps, your connection is invisibly passed between these back-end microservers. There are no loading screens at all. It is one continuous, unbroken reality.
And that seamless handoff creates a literal butterfly effect inside the game world.
It does.
Tekken Mag gave this incredible example of a massive player syndicate deciding to physically blockade a main bridge in Ocean Beach with stolen commercial trucks.
Right, I remember that part.
In the old days, that would just annoy the few people in your specific lobby. But today, because everyone shares the same physical space, that blockade forces thousands of real live players across the entire server to physically reroute their daily commute in the game.
It creates actual organic traffic jams based entirely on player behavior.
Yes. But processing that level of dynamic, unpredictable player interaction requires an astronomical amount of hardware power on the user's end, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is why the client-side hardware requirements are so steep now.
Yeah.
Your PC or your console requires a Generation 5 NVMe solid-state drive with read speeds of at least 7 gigabytes per second.
That is an absurd amount of speed just to play a game.
It is, but it's necessary because the world is no longer static.
Right.
If a bridge is blocked and thousands of cars are suddenly diverted through a narrow alleyway, your local machine has to stream the 8K urban textures, calculate the physics of all those collisions, and render the chaotic geometry in milliseconds.
Just to keep up with the server's reality.
Exactly. We connect this to the bigger picture. This server meshing technology wasn't just implemented for graphical bragging rights or, you know, to make the map look busy.
Right.
Economically speaking, you simply cannot have a functioning financial system without a unified world.
Because you need everyone playing by the same rules.
You can't have dynamic pricing or meaningful trade or scarcity unless everyone is forced to compete for the exact same resources in a borderless structure.
And that transition from isolated lobbies to a unified server is what allowed developers to eradicate the old broken money system and introduce a macroeconomic model based on actual scarcity.
Which brings us to the most controversial part of this whole evolution.
The money.
The money. We have to talk about the death of the infamous shark cards.
Oh man, the shark cards. In the older iterations of the game, players would spend real fiat currency, like actual U.S. dollars, to buy artificial in-game money that the developers just generated out of thin air.
And that system was fundamentally flawed because it was inherently hyperinflationary.
Right.
Since there was no limit to how much currency Rockstar could inject into the game, the value of the dollar just plummeted.
It led to a basic digital sports car costing $3 million. It was a complete joke.
It was. But in 2026, those inflationary workarounds are completely dead. They've been replaced by Leonidas Coin, or L-Coin.
And L-Coin is built on a proprietary private blockchain, right?
Yes. A blockchain acts as an immutable public ledger, meaning every single digital dollar is tracked and verified.
So the developers can't just print infinite money anymore.
Exactly. And to give you an idea of the sheer volume this ledger handles, there are 4.2 billion daily transactions executed within the Vice City markets.
4.2 billion. That is, I mean, the craziest stat in this whole Tick and Mag autopsy is that the economy is now 85% player controlled.
It's staggering.
It is driven entirely by the actual law of supply and demand. Artificial intelligence pricing intervention has been drastically reduced.
The mechanics of supply and demand are hard-coded into the engine now.
Yeah, the article gave that example.
Right. If a massive collective of players spontaneously decides to hoard a specific type of assault rifle, the in-game weapon manufacturing plants actually register a material shortage.
And the retail price of that rifle spikes by 200% in a matter of hours.
Yes.
It is completely dynamic. The market reacts to player behavior in real time.
And that dynamism extends heavily into the corporate sector through BA-WSAQ 2.0, which is the live in-game stock market.
The stock market manipulation detailed in the article feels like something out of a cyberpunk novel.
It really does.
Like, players will orchestrate a physical raid on a convoy of delivery trucks belonging to the in-game soda company, Sprunk.
Right.
They will use explosives to destroy the trucks, which causes the Sprunk company stock to plummet on the BA-SAQ board, and immediately the stock of their corporate rival, E. Cola, surges.
It's brilliant, honestly.
Wait, so players aren't just shooting each other randomly anymore. They are committing highly coordinated armed insider trading.
That is precisely what is happening.
That sounds like Wall Street with rocket launchers.
That's a great way to put it. By building the economy on a blockchain ledger and tying corporate stock to physical in-game assets, mm-hmm. Rockstar took the power of value creation out of the static game code.
And they handed the keys over to the players.
Yes. This is the exact moment where the software fundamentally shifts from being a chaotic open-world shooter into a rigorous socioeconomic simulator.
But think about the logistical nightmare of that.
Yes.
If millions of players are constantly manipulating the market with rocket launchers, human developers can't possibly sit at their keyboards patching the economy fast enough to stop hyperinflation.
No, it would be impossible.
They would need an automated governor to step in and stabilize things.
They do. And it is entirely driven by artificial intelligence. A dynamic economy requires a highly reactive world. Vice City itself has to fight back against the players.
And the article details the integration of large language models into the Rage 9 game engine.
This is a huge leap forward.
We are no longer dealing with simple background characters that just walk back and forth on a sidewalk to make the street look busy. Every single citizen in Vice City now has a daily routine.
They have virtual bank accounts.
Yes, and they have episodic memory.
That episodic memory is crucial. If you decide to start a massive gang war in a specific neighborhood day after day, the local economy in that grid actually crashes.
Right, because the digital citizens remember the violence.
Exactly, and they change their commuting patterns to completely avoid the area.
The shocks will physically board up their windows, and police patrols will actively double in that specific zone.
The world reacts.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Vice City doesn't even feel like a video game map anymore. It reads more like a biological living organism that has developed its own immune system.
That's a great analogy.
And that immune system has a name.
Internally, the overarching AI central bank is known as the Fed.
The Fed, of course.
The Fed is constantly monitoring the blockchain ledger for anomalies. If a player syndicate executes a massive heist and successfully injects too much illicit L-coin into the market all at once, the Fed automatically steps in to cool the economy.
Just like a real central bank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It spikes in-game interest rates and inflates the retail prices of high-end cars and real estate.
It essentially absorbs that excess liquidity to prevent an economic collapse.
Precisely.
But, I mean, my PlayStation already struggles to render a crowded lobby with decent frame rates. How on earth is a home console processing the complex macroeconomic decisions of a million AI citizens while simultaneously adjusting global interest rates?
It isn't.
It's not.
No. Your console at home is purely a streaming device for the graphics and local physics. The actual thinking is happening in multi-billion dollar data centers.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Every single localized server cluster requires 128 dedicated AI tensor processing units.
128 TPUs per cluster.
Yes. These TPUs are highly specialized chips designed specifically to do the complex mathematical heavy lifting required for neural networks.
Ah.
They calculate the thousands of NPC decisions and market fluctuations in real time, and then they just beam the results back to your screen.
The technical infrastructure required to pull that off is just staggering.
It is a massive investment, but true immersion requires consequence. The developers understood that a virtual economy only matters if every action you take has a permanent localized ripple effect.
Right. And because the server is unified, and because that AI-regulated currency is stable, we arrive at something that has never truly existed in a game of this scale before.
Tangible digital ownership.
Exactly. Real, verifiable scarcity.
Because in previous iterations, millions of players could technically own the exact same luxury apartment.
Yeah, you walk through the front door, and the server just teleported you to your own private instance copy of the interior.
Which makes the property totally worthless from a financial perspective.
Completely worthless. If everyone has it, it holds no value.
Right.
But today, if you buy an exclusive beachfront nightclub on Ocean Drive, you are the sole undisputed owner of that physical space in the mega server.
The blockchain verifies that nobody else has the keys to that door.
And that verifiable digital scarcity has created a virtual real estate boom with just staggering financial returns.
The ROI numbers from the Tech and Mag article are difficult to process.
They really are.
Yeah.
An exclusive penthouse in Ocean Beach launched at a baseline value of about $150 US. By mid-2026, those penthouses were selling on secondary player auctions for $2,800.
It's wild.
That is a 1,760% return on investment. The high-end nightclubs jumped from $400 to $8,500, a 2,025% ROI.
And ownership isn't passive. As the owner of that nightclub, you have to actively manage it. You set the entry fees for other players.
Yeah.
What's fascinating here is the intersection of real-world celebrity and digital venue management.
Oh, this part was crazy.
Occasionally, real-world famous DJs.
Mm-hmm.
The article mentions artists like Solomon and Tale of Us will actually log in and host a live exclusive set inside your specific venue.
And as the owner, you get to sell virtual VIP tickets to other players at exorbitant prices, effectively acting as a digital event promoter.
Exactly.
This dynamic has birthed an entirely new labor market inside the game. People aren't just logging on to do scripted story missions anymore.
No, it's a real economy now.
You have players acting as white hat hackers employed by in-game cybersecurity firms to defend these virtual banking servers from rival players. Syndicates.
Right.
You have players role-playing as international smugglers, physically moving military hardware across server clusters, making the equivalent of 20 real US dollars a week.
The game has literally become an employer. Players are treating Vice City as a viable, albeit unconventional, gig economy platform.
But imagine a clocking out of your actual 9-to-5 job, sitting down on your couch to finally relax, and realizing you have to log onto a server and work a second shift as a virtual security guard just to maintain your digital assets.
It sounds exhausting.
Would you want to come home from a long day at work just to log on and work a second shift as a virtual security guard? Is that even entertainment anymore?
That is the core dilemma the Tech and Mag piece wrestles with. We are looking at the complete obliteration of the boundary between play and labor.
Yeah.
And this is no longer monopoly money trapped in a closed loop. Players can legally liquidate their nightclub revenues or their smuggler wages into actual fiat currency.
They just transfer the value directly into US dollars or Ethereum.
Exactly. These digital properties are genuine, liquid financial assets.
And with real assets comes real tangible liability.
Of course.
The article points out that these digital buildings aren't invincible anymore. They take physical damage.
Right.
If a rival gang decides to bomb your $8,000 virtual nightclub, you have to pay out of pocket to rebuild the geometry. Unless, and this is genuinely the most absurd concept I have ever read about a Grand Theft Auto title.
Let me guess. The insurance.
Yes. Unless you hold in-game property insurance, you literally have to pay monthly premiums to protect a digital club from a 14-year-old with a rocket launcher.
It is the ultimate gamification of risk management. But as the article highlights in its later chapters, when digital assets translate directly into real-world money, real-world problems inevitably follow.
Oh, they definitely do.
When billions of dollars are flowing through a digital city, the authorities take notice.
We are not just talking about getting griefed by another player or dealing with a toxic lobby. We are talking about the IRS.
Yes.
We are talking about international anti-money laundering task forces getting involved in Vice City.
Because Elcoin can be easily cashed out for fiat currency, the Vice City economy immediately became a target for real-world organized crime.
Which is just wild to think about.
Actual drug cartels have attempted to use these virtual nightclubs to launder dirty real-world fiat money.
Oh.
They buy the digital property with illicit funds, generate clean Elcoin through nightclub entry fees, and then liquidate it back into the real banking system.
And that forced Rockstar's hand legally, to the point where they had to implement strict know-your-customer rules or KYC.
They had no choice.
Think about how wild this is. To play a video game at a high level, to transfer large volumes of this in-game coin or purchase prime real estate, you have to upload a selfie alongside your actual real-world ID documents.
Your actual driver's license or passport.
Verified by a third-party security firm just to unlock a heist mission.
The Tech and Mag piece breaks this ecosystem down into an impartial look at the red corner versus the green corner.
Right.
In the green corner, you have an undeniable, incredible technical achievement. Rockstar has successfully engineered real revenue generation, a breathing macroeconomic system, true digital ownership, and the creation of entirely novel careers.
But the red corner is heavy, and it's hard to ignore. The article calls this system a pay-to-earn trap.
It really is for a lot of people.
New players who log in without any real-world capital to invest essentially become indentured servants to these wealthy whale players who own all the infrastructure.
Right.
If you don't have $8,000 to buy a nightclub, your only option is to work the door as a bouncer for the guy who does.
And there are massive geopolitical implications layered on top of that digital class divide.
Yeah, the sanctions part was fascinating.
Because of international sanctions and complex financial regulations, players living in heavily sanctioned countries are legally blocked from using the official Elcoin withdrawal portals.
So they are locked out of the economy entirely.
Legally, yes. But practically, they are forced to rely on illicit, high-fee, peer-to-peer brokerages just to access the money they earn in the game.
Yeah.
You have players in developing nations acting as digital smugglers forced to pay 30% cuts to shadow brokers just so they can buy actual groceries with their virtual wages.
It is such an extreme contrast. If you look back at the pure, chaotic fun of the earlier GTA titles, it was all about consequent free exploration.
That was the whole appeal.
Right. But now that freedom is replaced by this deep, genuine financial anxiety. Getting your account hacked in 2026 doesn't mean you lose your gamer score or some rare cosmetic hats. It means you are losing thousands of actual dollars.
The Tech and Mag author refers to Vice City not as a game, but as a dark, mesmerizing mirror of modern hypercapitalism.
Yeah.
It is a ruthless capitalism simulator, complete with draconian privacy regulations, systemic inequality, and real financial peril.
So what does this all mean?
It's a big question.
When we step back and look at the massive picture Tech and Mag has painted for us, it's clear that Rockstar hasn't just made a successful sequel. They have birthed a sovereign virtual nation, complete with its own macroeconomic laws, its own functioning currency, and its own labor class.
Truly unprecedented.
It really forces you to think about your own digital footprint. If you are logging into these spaces, you have to ask yourself, are you actually ready to treat your downtime, your evening relaxation, as a high-stakes financial venture?
Which brings us to a lingering question, one that isn't entirely resolved by the article, but is the inevitable logical endpoint of everything we've discussed today.
Oh, I like where this is going.
If a virtual beachfront nightclub generates real U.S. dollars and you are the sole legally recognized owner of that digital scarcity, what happens to that asset when you die?
Wow.
Are we about to see real-world, messy legal battles in probate court over the inheritance of a digital penthouse in Vice City? And ultimately, if a real-world will clashes with a digital asset, does Rockstar Games' the terms of service supersede the law?
That is an incredibly wild thought to leave off on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the metaverse economy. Keep questioning the digital worlds you inhabit, and we will catch you next time.